Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 68, verses 1 through 10, and then continuing on at 32 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Let God rise up, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Like wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God, but let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exalted before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. From the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. And then continuing on. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord, O rider in the heavens, the ancient heavens. Listen, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God in his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. And our second scripture lesson from the book of Acts. Acts 6. Through verse 1, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the time or the period that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious and wondrous God, we have heard your word and we ask that it would lead us and guide us and keep us. We ask that it would show us the way to serve you and be your people in the days to come. May your word be a beacon of hope in our world. As we struggle, as we strain, may your word be a rock on which we find solace, comfort, and hope. In your wondrous and blessed name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, good morning. It is a beautiful day out. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. Today is certainly a day we look out and we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Tomorrow is normally a very different day than it will be. Normally we gather together up the hill and we march or walk all the way down that 1 mile to the town hall. Or perhaps we gather together and wave and watch as the paraders march past. Or maybe we get together and roll out the grill, take this weekend off and go camping, or gather together with family and friends to fellowship and barbecue together. Often this weekend marks the beginning of our summer. It marks the beginning of our time of being outdoors and enjoying creation. It also, in some measures of our families, probably marks a time of groaning and moaning for those families that are living in tourist destinations. But today has a deeper meaning. Tomorrow has a great meaning. It is a day designed to honor and mourn those military personnel who died in service. It is a day of memory and memorial. And here we are. We have a desire to honor and mourn all of those who have sacrificed their all for our country. We have a desire to allow those families and friends of those who have fallen to honor their loved ones. And yet here we are, in the midst of a global tragedy that has robbed so many family and friends of their loved ones. It gives us a unique perspective, doesn't it? Trying to figure out whether or not we want hot dogs or hamburgers, or potato salad or macaroni salad, pales in comparison to what tomorrow means. It means we have lost. It means we are losing. And we must honor those who have sacrificed. But our scripture today speaks of hope. It speaks of the hope that in the post-resurrection world, Jesus is with the disciples, is preparing them again. The reality is, if you listen to Jesus, he's preparing them for this moment. He has been preparing them all this time for the moment when he would ascend to heaven, when he no longer would be with them physically. Yes, he has been resurrected when we read our scripture today. And yes, up to Good Friday, Jesus walked a double line where he both discussed the immediate coming of his death and resurrection, but he also discussed the time after when he would ascend in glory. We have seen what happened in the short term. We have seen the far-reaching implications of Good Friday and Easter. And we have also seen the struggles of the body of believers, the ways that they have faced and dealt with the death and resurrection of Christ, and how they have been left wondering and not knowing. There seems to have been a period of trust issues in this interim. As Good Friday broke forth and Christ was laid in the tomb, the church, or what would become the church, grappled with Christ's promise to rise again. They wondered and waited and waited. Some with hope and others with worry. They've all been privy to the plan, and yet they still struggle. I'm sure that we've had those blessed conversations with others where we tell them a plan, tell them a series of events, and they look at you as if you have extra fingers or toes or even a third head. Our favorite statement in our house is when Barb turns her head to look at you and says, "What'd you say?" Never mind how many times you have approached a subject, never mind how many times you have spoken about something, you still get, "What'd you say?" Now, the initial few verses of Acts gives us a synopsis of what has transpired. Jesus and the disciples have gathered together, and Jesus again is preparing them for his next step. This time, it's going to be different. This time, it is more of a farewell for good. Farewell until I see you in glory. Farewell until then. There's no hope that in 3 days Christ will rise again. The hope is in the end. And yet, again, the disciples seem disconnected from what is. Even though they have partaken of the magnificent, still they are lost in the everyday. They still ask that question of Jesus about when he's going to restore Israel. But as a good teacher, Jesus doesn't criticize or mock his disciples' lack of understanding. He instead brings them through it. He doesn't answer their question, but answers a greater question. He instead tells them that they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. He draws an initial circle of witness around Jerusalem, draws an initial circle of witness around Judea, and the circles ripple out from there to the end of the world. He's speaking of how the church is called to go beyond itself after he is gone. He calls this immediate group, this group of believers, and tells them they will not be stationary or limited in their witness. They will ripple out and go to the ends of the world. And then comes that great moment when suddenly, as if out of nowhere, Christ begins to ascend to heaven. Without a notice, without a farewell card, so to speak, Christ begins to ascend. He instructs them, and then he leaves. His last instructions is for his disciples to be witnesses in all those various areas. His last words to them are, "Go and bear witness to what you have seen and what I have taught you and what you know." And then he ascends. Now, you might think that witnessing such an event, the disciples might be geared up and ready to go by seeing this. That as soon as they saw Christ ascending, they're like, "Well, boss is gone, time to get to work." But no. Instead of rushing and running to Jerusalem, there is no carpe diem moment where they run to go take on that mantle of witness. Can you imagine how great that story would have been? How perfectly it would have dovetailed together. Jesus begins to ascend. The disciples in that moment depart, preparing and being ready to go and tell the world of what Christ had done and who Christ was. But that is an ideal, exempt from the realities of human imperfections that exist in this moment. Ideals are beautiful to wonder at and reach for, but seldom, seldom do they actually work out, because the disciples seemingly are standing there watching as if their legs are stuck in the sand or cement. They're watching this great moment. They're caught up in it. The last time there was a great moment that the disciples almost failed to get caught, almost got caught in, you had Peter talking about building homes for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And instead of Jesus coming and shaking Peter, you have two men in white robes speaking to the disciples. Now, we can speculate about why the disciples are sitting in the moment, but truly and truly, it is because they're human. They want to hold on to what they have as long as they can. They want to treasure and hold this moment. And that desire, that want, is very human. But in order to move on and move the church forward, they must go and bear witness to what they have seen. And so they have these two men telling them to go. It's great to treasure the memories of what was. It's great to look back fondly with what existed and what we had. But the problem is when we get locked in a moment, when we get lost in moments, it limits our growth. It limits what we can do. When we get lost in a moment, there are two ways we can get lost: in the great and grand, the lovely and wondrous, but also we can get lost in the terrible and horrible, because it feels like a tiger trap that we have stepped in. Getting lost in a moment prevents growth, development, and even makes us disobedient. Thankfully, the disciples are shaken out and move with that command. Go and be my witnesses. The disciples have experienced a brief respite between this day and the resurrection, but it has been brief. We have seen the disciples wistfully looking towards the ether and watching and waiting for Jesus to descend from heaven. But instead, they get shaken up and shaken out. Brothers and sisters, we have been called to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. We aren't called to be bystanders who sit and watch, but participating witnesses in our world. We are called to witness to who Christ is and what he has done and what he is doing. The hope and love which Christ brought into our world is brought in part by us as participants. We are to bear witness to that hope and love of Christ. Now is a time for us to be those witnesses. Now is a time where our world needs the witness the most. Think about this. Over 300,000 people have lost their lives to this virus. Over 80,000 in our country alone. People are without jobs. People have been laid off. People are hurting. 5 million people and so many more have been harmed by this virus. So many people live in a place of wondering about a loved one, of wondering what is going to happen next. But hope is ours to bring to this world. Hope is ours to bear witness to. Not hope without something, but hope that speaks truth into this hope that this is not it. Hope that this virus is just that and is not the end. Hope that God is the most powerful force we know. Hope in our world. Hope in humanity. Hope in God. Hope in Christ is ours to bear in this world. We must bring our hope into this world. We must carry it. At times it might feel like we are carrying buckets with holes in them. But we are called to carry it nonetheless. We are Christ's witnesses in this world. We are Christ's witnesses who call out, who speak of his love, who speak of his hope to our world. Brothers and sisters, go and be his witnesses. Go and be his messengers of hope to those who are without hope. Go and don't just sit there watching.